Welcome to the Catch Up, our penultimate show for the year, the last one tomorrow.
Oh, you love that?
I do love penultimate. Second to last.
Can you spell it?
I can, but we'd be here all day. Yeah. Penultimate is the name of a horse I'd like to buy one day. I'd like to have a horse named Penultimate.
That's Can you imagine nice. Trying to say Horsey McHorse face and penultimate?
But the irony would be it would be a champion racehorse and it'd be called penultimate, but it'd always win.
It'd always run in the second last race. It's an ultimate race.
Always rate a race eight at Rosehill. Plenty on the show today. We got to know Moon a little bit better.
You know how we went off air for a while?
Okay, there was that.
There was a story well, that won't be in the catch up, of
There's
course.
There's half an hour of silence in the catch up.
But during that, we were talking about koalas swimming in the Brisbane River and getting eaten by bull sharks and lots of other things. Will that be in the catch-up?
No, that will be tomorrow, like it never happened.
Oh, we can do it again.
Oh, and for those that want to, there's a video up on our Facebook at Triple M of what was actually going on while we were off air. There was a video happening in the studio.
What was going on?
Well, we were chatting and carrying on.
That's what we normally do.
Unconventional Christmas traditions today. Robin Bailey used to get drunk as a child. You hear about that. Plus, Sunny Coast band The Chats. If you've never heard of them, you're just about to. Their hit song, I'm on Smoko.
Leave me alone!
Going absolutely gangbusters. We loved it here on The Big Breakfast. Enjoy the catch-up. We'll catch you tomorrow for our final show of the year.
Check the Brisbane Aviators Open Day at Archerfield Airport this weekend. Fly an aircraft this weekend from $140. Google Brisbane Aviators to book.
I have spoken about this a fair bit, only because it really is dominating my life at the moment. With three teenage sons, 13, 15 and 17, single mum, I desperately try and keep Christmas alive for me, but I make them participate. So, and I do that by trying to keep a hold of the family traditions that we started when they were little. So the Christmas stockings have gone up on the wall.
Already?
But, yeah, stupidly now they want them filled. So I'm an idiot.
Yeah, they want stuff.
They want a lot of stuff and they want to pretend that it's, no, well, you know, they want to believe that Santa is going to come for them. I'm going to make.
There is a cutoff age, isn't there?
Yeah, there really
Once
is.
Once Santa goes, I'm sorry, but you're a little bit too old for me now.
Pretty much.
Can't bring presents for everyone.
I'm making them be home on Christmas Eve because we have to watch Polar Express because we have since they were tiny
little
kids.
What sort of a Christmas tradition is that?
It's just cute.
Actually, that is right. Some people, I got another mate. So is there a movie called It's a Wonderful Wonderful Life.
Yes, wow, that's really old.
A mate of mine, his
Jimmy
family
Stewart.
Has to watch that on Christmas afternoon,
that.
I think.
And Mooney
Stewart, yeah.
Miracle on 34th Street, is it?
Yeah, and
but
you
how
do
is
love,
that a
actually.
Tradition? Like, that's nothing in the Bible or anything. That's just movie. Let's watch that again.
It's just the family smart way of doing things. And because my kids are losing interest in me, I'm trying to make them come back for Christmas. But the one that they are interested in, not surprisingly, is from when I was a little girl. My dad decided, because he was the Bailey in the family, that he wanted to start a tradition being in Australia. And he really loved cornflakes. Kellogg's cornflakes. And he was a very astute Englishman. Yeah. And so he decided, and I must have been really little, but that for breakfast we would have cornflakes and Baileys.
Even kids.
Yeah, we'd
what?
All have a
well start to the day.
So rather than put milk on your cornflakes, you'd put Baileys.
But the day's over before you've started if you're 8 years old. It's like, I go nay-nay now.
Well, the whole family passed out by 11.
Kahlua on top of your pancakes.
What a great day.
We used to, as little kids, we would have it diluted so there'd be a lot of milk and just a drop of Baileys. But mum and dad, man, they gave it a fair crack.
If I went by your system, which is use a tradition based on your surname, our family just would have been flashing brown eyes at one another. Yeah, in the Mooney family, we just drop our dacks and expose our buttocks. That's what we do.
Don't you have unconventional Christmas traditions that are just associated with your family?
Absolutely.
What?
We used to have, the nativity scene, and I don't know whether this is traditional or not, but we'd have the three wise men, and they would travel across the lounge room in the final week of Christmas. So the three wise men had started the lounge
migrate.
Room door towards the nativity scene. And You know, they'd be on the chair and then the next day they're on the window ledge and then, you know, oh, they're on top of the telly, they're making it, they're going to be close now. So they'd follow the star across the lounge room to witness the birth of Jesus.
That's adorable. Oh my God. I love that. Come on, Dad, you've got to have Martin family Christmas traditions.
Well, every year, either my sister or my mum makes one item of clothing and everyone has to wear it on Christmas Day.
One year there was
36 pairs of toweling shorts, every person in the family. Last year there was 32 there last year for Christmas, dressing gowns, things.
Like kimono wonderful. Style.
Yeah, but I had to wear it all day. And then they all put it on social media. Oh, look at all the men
so
in their dressing gowns.
So what's this year, do you know?
Got no idea. Because they'd be squirreling away doing something right now.
That's adorable.
You don't know until you get it. Weinstein wearing your bathrobe to Christmas dinner. Very
unconventional Christmas traditions. Have you got one in your family? Corey of Aspley, what is that great tradition?
It's not so much a family tradition, but one for me is watching the Die Hard movie.
The great Christmas story,
that
the Die Hard movies.
All he wants to do is get home to his family.
That's all he wants to do. So do you watch all three?
Well, there's more than three, but I think I just concentrate on the first two because they're the Christmas.
Hold on.
How many are there?
I think there's five.
Yeah, I think that's you're right.
A couple of them are unnecessary, surely. Yeah.
it's not as bad as the Police Academy movies, put it that way.
How dare you?
No, true. Agreed.
Somebody has left me out of the loop.
How many did Lethal Pursuit? It's like, that's been going for four nights now. Lethal Weapon 4 was on last night. Yeah, is there another one to come?
No, I don't believe
so. I hope so.
Because Danny Glover is getting a bit too old for it.
Keep saying the same
thing.
I'm
too old for this shit.
Gina.
Thanks, Corey.
Gina of Springfield Lakes, what's your family tradition at Christmas?
My dad also created a tradition where he would buy Mum a bottle of Galliano for every Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then we would have Harvey Wallbangers for breakfast.
Oh, yum.
What are the ingredients of a Harvey Wallbanger?
Galliano, vodka and orange juice.
I was going to say orange juice.
We're at least having orange juice.
Tina, what age did you start having these?
You had to be 10 to partake.
10. Oh, stringent.
Stringent.
So you had to hang out a few years.
Yeah. And did you have a full glass, like what Mum and Dad had, or did you just have a sip at 10?
Oh, we got a smaller glass. We had like a shot glass when we were 10, but you got a bigger glass as you got older.
Only one? Keep coming back to the well.
Once you turn 15, you could have two or three.
Oh, so your dad, glasses.
You had standards.
So your dad had done a responsible service of alcohol course.
He did, it would appear.
Oh, you're great, well done. And Tina, are you continuing the tradition with your own family?
We haven't, sadly. We haven't, which is a real shame.
Oh, someone needs to take hold of that.
Never
start
too late
this
for
one.
The family. Yeah.
Start this year.
On your Tina. A couple of wallbangers on the cornflakes this year, huh, Robin?
No, I'm sticking to Bailey's.
There's a phone topic. What's the best alcohol to drink at breakfast?
The big breakfast on Triple M.
Just watching the Channel 9 news last night, and there's one story grabbed me. It happened at Currabee on Tuesday night. I'll just let it unfold as it did last night.
This teenager admits he has a nose for trouble. Now it's proof he's lucky to be alive.
I've opened the door, I've seen the guy just pull up the gun. I've just bricks, moved there, got my nose, bounced off that, bullet went somewhere over there.
What?
He just opened the front door and some bloke shot him. Like, that's how it started. I went, whoa, this seems a bit odd. Boys, him and a mate may have brought this on themselves. The story continues.
A terrifying chain of events began when he and his mates graffitied a truck outside their home.
The next day, he couldn't go to work and we felt bad because he lost money.
Yeah.
Okay. So we cleaned it for him.
Okay.
They did the right thing there, though. The guy couldn't go to work, so they did clean it.
They did a really piss-weak cleaning job. You know, you could still see it.
What did they do? Did they put paint all over it?
Yeah, well, do you understand graffiti?
Stop it. They could have used chalk. They might have used something else.
It was paint. The bloke had one of those. Like, it looked like a refrigerated truck.
Who graffitied
the Did they graffiti the windscreen?
No. They just did the side of his truck. And it was obviously, there was something embarrassing if he couldn't go to work. I don't know why you can't go to work with a bit of graffiti.
Yeah, why can't you go to work? So where did the shooting happen? after the graffiti or after the cleaning job?
Okay. Yes, after. No. Yeah, after. So they graffitied and then they could. Yeah, it wasn't chalk, so they couldn't quite get it off. Mm, and then sure. This. Well, hold on. Before the shooting, this happened. So the bloke's gone, well, that's a crap cleaning job. I'm still going to get you blokes.
While they were scrubbing, a stranger arrived demanding they pay him money. When they refused, they say the man started pouring petrol on 19-year-old Caleb Liberti.
How's this?
He just drenched me and he got out his lighter and was like, I'm going to burn you if you
don't
leave.
Oh, that's
that.
A bit harsh.
And I was like, yep, whatever, and walked home.
Whatever and walked home? I got petrol home. This is unbelievable what's going
on. What is happening out there?
Down at Curraby.
The Badlands of Curraby. So you can't douse a teenager in petrol.
And you know what his mistake was? He said he walked home.
I know.
I would walk to the police.
I'd take my clothes off.
Exactly. Well, that's your reaction to a lot of things.
You go up.
All right. Let's wrap it up. So this has all happened. This is over a simple little bit of graffiti. Well, how does it finish up?
Last night, he was back with another male carrying a homemade gun.
It's like one of those nail guns that you shoot into the wood. Yep. And it's got little gunpowder cartridges.
The gunman took aim and pulled the trigger.
And I fake fell over so he wouldn't try to go for me again.
And that's when he's come down with a gun on my back and then in the back of my head. And then they turn and sprinted out the door like the cowards they are.
Yeah, lucky I moved though, because that would have killed me straight up.
Whoa. What a night.
I fell down so he wouldn't goof me again.
Can you get killed?
I've never heard that expression before.
I don't know, but it sounds like he had a cordless, an airless nail gun.
Can they kill you? I guess between the eyes they could.
Yes, they can kill you. A nail to the head.
Yeah, I suppose so.
But so
very weird.
So they've graffitied a truck.
Yeah.
They've cleaned it. One of them's been doused in petrol and threatened to be burnt alive, and then they've shot someone with a nail gun.
And then what happens?
Well, I think it's heading to court.
I would like the police to get involved now.
Yeah. Rather, Channel 9 aren't going to sort this out on their own. No.
Always use chalk.
Well, we do love our music here at Triple M. We love our rock. And we don't mind being introduced to some new music too. So, Brendo, you alerted me to what was happening on 7 News last night. A little outfit out of the Sunshine Coast called The Chats. And they have got an epic song that is going viral across the universe, and they were telling us all about it on 7 News last night.
I forget, I think it was over a year ago, it was ages ago I wrote that, but I think, I can't remember who said it, but I can remember hearing someone say, I'm on Smoko, so leave me alone, and that just got stuck in my head for the rest of the day, and I got home and I just wrote it out, the whole song.
That was very creative of you.
Well, this could become an Aussie classic because Smoko, of course, is a time-honoured tradition amongst men and women on work sites, in factories, everywhere. People go on Smoko. And so the boys have got what I think is the seed of an Aussie classic here.
Can I check who, now I've seen the video clip a couple of times, who did the speaking on 7 News? Was it the kid with the red mullet?
Oh, that was the kid with the red mullet. This guy I think was the bassist. He's going on like, this song is like a Lennon McCartney sort of thing.
Goosebumps. You just go, oh, this is unreal.
Really? So straight off the bat, you thought, yeah, this is going to be
good. Yeah, it just comes together. Just like, when you like, you feel it, just go, yeah.
Goosebumps.
Wow. When you feel it. So, yeah, he's picking up
himself.
The idea.
That's good.
Absolutely.
But and they couldn't sing. Like, well, I didn't know they'd been interviewed or anything. I just saw the video one about 2 or 3 days ago. I went, that's terrible. it didn't make any sense. Like, it was a bloke in a surf lifesaving, bloke in a red mullet, walk in a lifesaving outfit, walks up to a bloke sitting on a milk crate having Smoko and says, I'm on Smoko, leave me alone.
Leave me alone.
And that's somehow hundreds of thousands of people have now.
We should hear the song.
Do we dive
because,
in?
Yeah, let's go.
This might be a lot of people's first experience of The Chats. Let me build it up like Molly Meldrum on Countdown. Do yourself a favour. This is The Chats with Smoko. I'm on Smoko. Leave me alone.
Thoughts?
I'm calling it Aussie thrash punk. And I think it's a new genre that is going to make the Sunshine Coast.
Every work site.
It's going to be like. You know, where were Nirvana from?
Seattle.
Yeah. That's right.
It's going to be like Seattle of the 90s, Sunshine Coast.
Sunshine Coast.
It's going to spawn a whole lot of different bands like that.
Do you think worksite guys who do Smoko will see that as their anthem?
Oh, they'll be yelling it out. Yeah. Well, obviously, if more than 100,000 people have hit it now, it's going to go crazy. It's and every worksite, that's what people will say. Like,
do you know what?
10:30 will come. I'm on Smoko.
Leave me alone.
And they'll use that voice.
Okay.
Can we get these kids down to play it live on air?
I think we do, obviously, in the new year. We kick off the year with the chats. What do you reckon? Looking at producer Scotty. He seems unsure.
They've got other songs. They've got other songs.
Have they? Like what?
Something called Wednesday Night.
Oh, Wednesday Night. What's that sounds about? Good.
Well, it's okay.
It's Wednesday Night.
Hold on. Give me another Wednesday one. Night. There's another one. It is the chat.
Marta, you said that Smoko has changed on the work site.
Yeah, well, now no one even sits together. We used to talk at Smoko. Maybe that was just us. We were all mates. But you used to talk now. I watch any building site at Smoko. Everyone just takes off into their own little area with their phone. And that's part of the inspiration for the song, I guess.
Oh, there's lots of them.
Is it also your halfway
one of their
through...
songs is Namboard, as in they must have gone from where they live on the sunny coast to Nambour and got Namboard.
Yeah, that's good.
B-O-R-E-D.
Or how many do you do?
Well, that's ambiguous.
Here's one, Bus Money. So they just, if something happens to them that day, they rush home and write a song.
That is sensational.
And who could forget everyone's favourite?
Leave me alone, I'm on Smoko. Leave me alone, I'm on Smoko. Leave me alone.
The next billion seconds are the most important in human history as technology transforms the way we live and work. The smartphone, barely a decade old, has given billions access to information and capacities they've never had before. It's changing what we can do, and it's changing the shape of the future. So what does that future look like? Hi, I'm Mark Pesce, the host of The Next Billion Seconds, a new show on Podcast One. Join me as I speak to some of the brightest minds shaping that world, the people who are spending their lives forming that future. We'll hear about their work in helping shape those next billion seconds. Listen at podcastone.com.au or on the Podcast One app.
Robin, can I take everyone behind the scenes? What are you looking at in the paper right now?
Well, I've actually got it on dual things happening here. And the middle section of the paper in Q Confidential is a lot of the outfits from the Actor Awards, which used to be the AFI.
Thank you.
The Australian
I'd like to talk about the Actor. Just what is the AA, what do all the letters stand for?
The Australian Academy of Cinema Television Awards.
That's
Cinema
right.
and Television Awards.
Okay. I saw the a actors. Couple of photos.
Mm. You're not happy?
No, I saw a little bit
we
of the red carpet.
Fashion. Oh, well, wow.
I saw a little bit of the... I just saw glimpses and I wanted to make an observation. Tell me who looked good. Oh, I don't care what they...
Who
got it wrong?
Marto, who are you wearing? Who are you wearing right
it's
now?
It's unbelievable.
Okay, Shania Blaze from The Block, I thought, did really well. She was in a navy number, one shoulder.
Okay.
You really want to go here?
No,
I'm
happy I don't
to go
want to
here
go
with
here.
You.
How did Sophie Monk, she go all right?
Oh, no, anyway. Sophie Monk got absolutely slammed because she wore, like, it was a shorts under a... Whoopi Goldberg from the Academy Awards back in the early 90s is what Sophie Monk is trying to channel here.
Oh, that year, yeah. Now, listen, all right, that's enough.
She went in a pair of shorts.
Yeah, pretty much shorts with a skirt around the outside.
What do you call that? Right.
Skorts.
Well, no, I was going to say a skort, but a skort.
Skorts, skirt up front, shorts
short
out
down
back.
No, but this
the other
isn't
way
this.
Shorts up front, skirt at
no,
back.
No. You're
what
right
do you call that when it's long, the mullet dress, when it's short at the front and long at the back?
Mm. I reckon the mullet dress is
mullet
pretty good.
Dress will do.
Dodgy.
Okay, dodgy. Atea. Now, I don't want to talk about fashion at all, surprisingly enough.
Oh, come on.
What I want to talk about, because it's where film meets television. So
yes.
What I saw last night, one minute you got Simon Baker, one of our big, movie stars.
The Mentalist,
that's right. And then I saw that Sticks and Wombat. So you've got third-rate reality TV stars going up. Can you imagine if they actually linked up, or a Desperate Housewife? Can you imagine if Sticks and Wombat went up to Simon Baker and said, "Hey, mate, we're just like you. We're on telly as well." And he'd just go, "Mate, I'm the Mentalist.
Are you?
Who are you, bogan?"
I'm a Wombat.
Rachel Griffiths, one of our most stylish...
She wasn't last night. She looked like she was wearing a black sack. But apart from that,
Go away.
What about
wow.
Great.
Wow.
She's
that?
Amazing.
Whoa.
But you just said,
I don't like that. That's your opinion. That's your
agreed.
Opinion.
But the dress was not her most flattering. She's the most amazing Australian actress and has a...
She's backpedaling now, aren't we?
Yeah. No, but that dress sucks. And if you want to know, have a look at it.
Happened last night, Rachel Griffiths on the red carpet because of the whole controversy surrounding sexual harassment within the entertainment industry, came out and said women have had enough, but sprung to the defence of Jeffrey Rush, who was formerly one of the members of the board of the actors, and said Jeffrey Rush is not Harvey Weinstein. Now, that's a defence after a fashion. Do you know what I mean? It's okay, he's not Harvey Weinstein, that's a fact. But that doesn't mean that...
Where are we? Is he Don Burke? Where does he sit?
Well, they don't know.
It's very confusing.
She would have used her best of her acting ability. She's a fine actor, isn't she?
She's a wonderful actress.
Okay. Could you imagine?
She's sensational.
Imagine how much she would have acted if one of those Housewives of Melbourne came up and Rachel, hi, we're just like you.
What, Gina?
Oh, I don't know their bloody names. I just wanted to mention, when film stars meet our reality TV stars.
You could have switched off Channel 9, which I think was showing this last night, and gone on to Foxtel and watched The Real Housewives of Melbourne, because the first episode debut of season 4. Oh,
seriously, does anyone watch the actors? Does anyone watch the Academy of Australian Cinema and Television Awards?
There wasn't a huge amount on telly.
Yeah, the cricket finished dangerously early. Of course, Lethal Weapon 4 is on.
I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah, man.
Everybody has childhood dreams, and I think that life is complete if you can actually realise your childhood dream, because it's inside. The little child goes, finally. The circle is complete. And for me, I think I told you about this yesterday, guys. I have realised that because I bought earlier this year an MG. To be very specific, an MGB GT, hardtop fastback.
What year is the first
question? It is a 1971, Mardo, when Leyland took over the manufacture of MGs. And if you don't know what an MG stands for, it stands for Morris Garages. I'd always been very attracted to the car, and so
why in your childhood would you have ever thought of an MG? What impressed you? Was there an uncle or something?
There was a show on the ABC, called The Outsiders or The Drifters or something, and this guy gets an MG for his 21st birthday. He smashes it because he's a confused young man, and then he goes on the road with his grandfather to learn wisdom and the ways of the Australian outback.
Wow, in an MG. Mm.
No, they go off in an EH ute.
MG was trash.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. Now, from my knowledge, there used to be a red one. There was I reckon they made them in yellow too.
They did make a yellow one, and I have got a yellow. Because the red one's kind of a bit of a cliche. Then there's the British Racing Green, and my one is Primrose Yellow. There is a story attached to this, though, because way back in my childhood, every day, every Saturday, The Age would appear at the Mooney family home in Melbourne, and I'd flick through to look at the prices of MGs.
Oh. Wow.
I wanted one from that long back, and one day I saw this MG hardtop, $50, and I said to my dad, look at this. He goes, it must be a misprint. And I said, I'll ring the people. And I rang, and the woman at the house said, my son's out, but you can come around and have a look at it. So I convinced my dad to take me out to this suburb.
You and Daryl Kerrigan.
I was just about to say.
Kerrigan sitting there in their kitchen.
And what happened? Was it
$50? My brothers are excited. Yes, it was $50. And we walked down the driveway. It was a big palatial home. And she opened the garage. And my brothers were with me. And on the ground was sitting an MG hardtop. Just the hardtop, car. And the whole family just broke down laughing. And she said, so do you want to buy? And I went, No. Oh, come on, guys, let's go. So and that became family legend. But anyway, so I've been searching ever since.
Waited until this year. When did you get it, did you say?
I got it in April this year, and it's been sitting in a shed in the Barossa Valley. The guy had bought it, and just like he was a collector, he'd left it there for 33 years without driving it.
And why this year? Did you get your wife at a weak moment?
No, I just thought, this is the year. This is the year where there's a bit of spare cash and I'm going to buy it. But it's actually my daily drive. I drive it around, rather than I don't want it wrapped up in cotton wool. And I feel great every time I get into it. There's a little 15-year-old boy inside me just saying, thanks. Aww. Thanks for making this happen.
Thanks to Malcolm Turnbull.
Malcolm Turnbull has changed my life. So what I'm saying today is, have you realised a childhood dream? It might be the purchase of something. It might be the job you always wanted to do. It might be going somewhere. Or that childhood sweetheart. Have you realised a childhood dream?
Have you done all your childhood dreams, Marto? You've done so many things. Right. Which was?
Play football for Australia, and that was it.
Tick.
After that, I didn't have all that much ambition. That was all I wanted to do.
So you ended up on Triple M.
Yeah, that's right. But I didn't want this job. I didn't ever ask for it. I was doing a reno in someone's place. So, yeah.
So, do you reckon that realising your childhood dream early on, too early, is a good or bad thing, Marto?
I don't know. Well, it hasn't really affected things.
It's still here.
Yeah. Oh, this is an ambitious, thank God. Yeah. Silly job.
Terry,
you're a good person.
So are you.
Stop it. You're creeping me out, you two. Terry of Bow Desert.
Job done.
Yeah, how's it going, fellas?
Yeah, what was the dream, mate?
Oh, I was a kid growing up watching bull riding on TV, and I said, I'm going to try that one day. So I turned about 20, and I went out and done bull riding.
Oh, wow. At a rodeo?
I've done a few practice rides, and then I got my first shot out during a show.
And what happened? Did you stay on for the obligatory time?
No, I didn't register the time back then, but a couple of weeks after a Serena show, I fractured my back in three places.
Oh wow.
Bull riding.
That was the end of that.
By doing bull riding, yes.
That would be the end of that, Terry. So how many rides did you do before you absolutely smashed your spine?
Probably about 10 or so.
Terry, when you were younger, you know, when this was developing in your brain, this ambition, were you jumping on cows in paddocks? So how did you build up to it?
Oh, I didn't really build up for it. I just went to a few practice rides and jumped on, and away I went.
Wow, found a bull and rowdy.
There's no preparation, is there? So have you healed, Terry? Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good now. I'm 25 now, but I've had to retire from doing that. Yeah.
Good.
Head into Johnny Ringo's, Terry. They've got a mechanical bull there.
Yeah, just ask Dubbo. He falls off it a lot.
Have a couple of Jaegers first and loosen up, Terry.
That's what goes.
Courtney of Redbank Plains, have you got a childhood dream?
Yeah, definitely. Growing up, I was always watching my uncle in New Zealand as a sign writer, making all of these amazing signs, and he had a billboard of everything he'd ever done. Just loved watching him. And, I left uni when I was at high school and didn't quite know what I wanted to do, and just this year I've finally taken up an apprenticeship myself in Brisbane, and I just love it.
Oh, you
your
sound
voice.
Happy,
doesn't
Courtney.
Doesn't she sound happy?
And so, I'm actually on the way to work right now.
And so that realisation of the childhood dream obviously, makes you feel up about going to work.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I've been doing it for almost a year now and, can't wipe the smile. Go to work every day,
awesome.
Get the...
Where do you sign write?
In West End.
Doing what? Like, what are you actually doing?
What's your sign today?
Yeah. So every day is slightly different. Like we can do the design work on the computer, and then we go in and physically make the signs in the workshop, and then we install them on site. So
Everything's different in sign writing. Like your uncle would have been all freestyle and doing it all on the sign, whereas now it's all done by computer, and it's a lot of it sticker work, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we deal with a lot of vinyl now. But yeah, he definitely did a lot of the old school painting. But just the other week, we were out painting some of the signage on the big buildings, and that was all by hand as well. So it's definitely a very varied trade.
Give your business a plug. They'll love you when you get to work.
And signature signs in West End. Yeah, I love it to bits. Couldn't fault them at all.
God. I just want to bottle your happiness. Yes. We're going to send you a digital radio, okay? A VQ Retro Mini digital radio, so you can listen to Triple M anywhere you want, okay?
Oh, that is fantastic. Thank you so much, guys.
It's not very often that, it's never that anyone's ever come to me for financial advice and a little bit of economic direction, etc. But, Sam Hargraves, who's hosts the Weekenders show on Saturday mornings here at Triple M. I'm having a chat to him yesterday.
Love Sammy.
Yeah, well, Sam. I'm having a chat to him yesterday, and he was talking about his little nephew. He's got a little nephew and niece.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking, how do you work out what presents? We're talking about Christmas stuff. He said, no, 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 I don't worry about that because I put money into their bank account.
Oh, that's nice.
But he does it each year, you know, on their birthday and Christmas. Yeah, very wise. And then I started telling him about my story, about how I was able to, because my old man bought me a car when I turned 17 because it was a good way, as you found out with your son, mm-hmm. to stop driving us to sport all the time. You know, you got yourself out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my old man, how did you ever afford that? And I've done the same thing with my kids because I bought both of my kids a car when they were 17 and it gave them tremendous freedom and everything else. And I did it by putting $10 a week from the time they were about one into a bank account. And ta-da, you do that, do your math, and you end up with about $8,000, just over $8,000 when they turn 17 and you can afford a car.
That's very clever.
That's my advice to anyone. That's the only piece of advice I've got for you. Take it and run with it. But then I said to Sam, what, you got to watch. And he said he didn't control the account. But what also, that money becomes very handy. There are times in life when you go, geez, I wish I had a bit of cash. And I was in control of that account. Obviously, the kids, when they're 12, weren't in charge of their account. They had no idea. There was already $3,000 in there. There was twice when we went on holidays, that was the cash we grabbed out of that account. I made sure I always put it back in there. Raided the kid's car account to have fun.
I've done worse than that.
Oh, good. I'm feeling a bit bad. I just saw the looks on your faces.
I've done much worse than that. I've busted open a piggy bank to get some coins out.
Oh.
But yeah. And I did it.
Yeah, and I, well, we can't, we needed the money. Like, it wasn't just because I wanted to go and buy.
You weren't going to the pokies.
No, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't doing any of that. But it was just tight, and there was a couple of days until we got paid. And I mean, you know, don't feel that sorry for me.
Oh, no,
but I'm just saying
that
there's
times where you slip a $5 note, a $10 note.
Yeah,
in there.
And there was, and we just needed, I needed to get some groceries and stuff, and it was just the way it was. And we didn't have any other money. And so I knew that one of the boys had a piggy bank. The stupid thing was, though, like, I would have spent probably 2.5 hours taking that little plug off the bottom of it and trying to get my fingers into it. Well, in the end, I had to.
Oh, what did you say to him?
Well, yeah.
What about the guilt of a parent with that hammer poised, ready to smash their child's piggy bank?
Yeah,
the kid comes in and is like, Mum, what are you doing?
Breaking their trust.
Yeah, okay.
Shattering their dreams.
No, I repaid it.
What did you say?
Right.
A man came into the house and stole it?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I just said later that I bought a new piggy bank and I said, oh, buddy, I'm really sorry, but I accidentally broke your piggy bank. It's okay. Let's transfer the money. And I put the money back. Stop looking at me like that.
That's great.
What were you going to do? No one stooped that low, ever.
You know that that little, you know, honesty chocolate donation thing in the kitchen? You two just stay away from that.
Well, it's necessary.
All right, hold on. Let's give everyone else a chance. What have you raided your kid's bank or piggy bank or you've taken from them just because you needed it at that time?
I didn't buy shoes. I bought food. Okay, go away.
You obviously thought about buying shoes for you even bring that up.
It was just, oh my God.
How do you stop your children hear you coming when you're in your Milano Blahniks?
I don't own any Milano Blahniks.
I don't even know what they are. Hold on. Have we got anyone who's raided their kids' bank accounts or taken advantage of their children?
Steve of Eagle Bee, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, what'd you do?
It was last year, actually. The kids were playing on my partner's phone and they racked up a $500 bill on the Google Play Store.
Oh,
Jesus. So, took $250 out of each of their accounts and paid for it that way.
Well, that's punitive fair enough, measure. Really.
Yeah. How did they have money? How do your kids have money in a bank account? Where did they get it from?
We got on the Dolomite accounts. They do the school banking every week.
Oh, does that still happen?
Yeah, it still happens.
I bet they don't have a little banking book anymore, do they?
Yeah, they still got the little yellow envelope and they fill out the book and send it in every week.
How cute's that? So you stole money out of that?
Yeah, well, eventually the money was refunded from the Google Play Store and then when it came through, we put the money back in their account. But
are you sure you did, Steve? I've heard the same story from Robin Bailey. Are you sure you put it back in?
Just like you, Marto, I put it back in.
Redwood boy.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
Bye.
What about Robert?
Of Redcliffe, hello.
What happened, mate?
Okay, I work at a bottle shop and I had a lady come in one day with her 10-year-old son. She wanted to buy some alcohol. When I put my hand out for payment, the little 10-year-old boy pulled his key card out of his pocket, looked at mummy, handed it to me.
Stop it.
And I turned around and said, I'm sorry, mate, you're buying the beer. For mummy, you're under 18, I can't serve you.
So what happened?
Well, I haven't seen you again, Robin.
Oh, wow. That's some good gear from Robin.
That is not even funny. Like, not even a little bit, Robin.
Good on you, Robbie.
Well, because technically under the law, the young kid put his hand out for payment.
Oh, yeah, we're right.
That means he's underage. Yeah. I can't serve him.
Yeah, we get it.
We got it.
No, we get it.
Do you know what, Robert? I don't think she was stopping at that bottle shop. She wasn't going to go, okay, lesson learned.
There's plenty more bottle shops.
Good on you, mate. Brisbane's Triple M, the big breakfast.
Adam McDougall is the health hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks, and routines of the healthiest, happiest, and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Brisbane's Triple M for the Brisbane Aviators Open Day. It is the big breakfast with Marto, Robin and the Moon Man. Top of 34, partly cloudy. Friend of the show, Pete Murray, calling through just before 7:30. He wants to hang out with you in bar and find out how when we hear from him.
Okay, now, this was brought up a couple of days ago and it's based on medical fact. Marto brought this to the table.
In a study of 30,000 men in Europe, frequent ejaculations can help save men's lives.
And the whole premise was, Marto, that you had to clean out your pipes.
Mm. 252 times a year, which is 21 times a month. If you do it that amount, you reduce dramatically your risk of getting prostate cancer.
And
that's just trying to save lives.
Is an actual fact. Well, I'm going to continue on with that theme because we may, in fact, have a bit of a problem.
What do you got, a tally? We need a, what can I call it, calendar.
Do we?
A whiteboard just to
match. Are you sure?
Oh, it doesn't matter. And everyone, don't panic. If you do 700, you'll be really, you're
really healthy.
You're way ahead of the pack.
I reckon you wouldn't need to tell most men to, raise their averages. Mm-hmm. I think most men, and maybe it's a genetic thing where your body says you should do this because it's good for you.
I bet it is. Mm.
Well,
self-primer.
Okay, but to have your partners involved, I went looking for some statistics.
That's
to just
optional.
Say, well, okay, but this was from the Sex in Australia 2 survey, and I've spoken about this before. They interviewed 20,000 men and women aged 16 to 69 over a 6-month period.
What a weird age.
Oh, no. Anyway, they come back and...
Keep charging.
On average, based on this survey, on average, people in regular relationships have had sex about 1.4 times a week in the last 4 weeks.
Okay, 1.4.
Younger people had sex more often, but those in their 60s had sex about once a week. We're dropping. Our numbers have gone down in the last 10 years, but most people said they would really like to do it 2 to 4 times a week.
Mm. I reckon I would fit that profile exactly. I would probably like more sex. Mm. My sex life has dropped right off. But I think that it's also about, bothering too. You get to a comfortable point where you just go, let's get ready for bed. Couldn't be bothered in a way.
Really? Well, then how are you going to get your stats up?
Oh, you only need 5 minutes during the day or an empty room or whatever.
A bit of DIY.
Come on.
Lot of DIY. Yeah. My sex life is mostly DIY.
Robin, do you realise there's blokes driving along just going, yep.
Are they really? Because if that is true, you are
Portaloo on a building site, there'd be
not during the day.
Sometimes,
not
I reckon.
On Smoko.
I bet
tell you what.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So when you two race off to the toilet during a song.
No, include us in this.
No.
Well, you're saying that
I never
you do
use
it.
The toilet at work. It's always in a studio somewhere.
Pete Murray, obviously friend of the show, and he's got a new project in the works, Robin.
He has got a brand new retreat with his friend Benny Owen happening. It's called Music and Movement Escapes in Byron Bay. We are talking about the one and only Pete Murray, and he joins us. Hey, Pete.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's going on? What is this, Pete? You've had enough trouble. You had the album out this year. You've been travelling. How have you had time to do anything else?
It's been pretty full on, guys, yeah. But this is pretty exciting, actually, this whole concept of music and movement. So, you know, I've been involved in fitness or sport all my life. You know, music was a kind of a secondary thing. So, and Benny, my good mate, came to me a little while ago and suggested this idea about doing this basically fitness and well-being and music combination. And I thought it was a great idea because Benny, I'm not sure if you know his background, but he used to be a drummer. He used to drum for quite a few different local Aussie acts. And he was a large boy. He was about 120K. And he's learned, how to get himself slim and on it with diet and exercise. And he's a fitness guru now. And he's super ripped these days and super fit. So, yeah, teaming up to do that at Elements Resort in Byron is a nice, it's going to be, pretty fun week.
For blokes, women or everyone?
It's for everyone, mate, especially Marto.
What does a day look like? Tell me what it happens, Pete.
Well, it's over the week, guys. So firstly, it's on the Valentine's Day week. So we've got the gig. It's an acoustic gig that people get the chance to come and see. It's on the beach at Elements Resort there. And you get two sessions to train with me. You know, people come to shows and they get the experience to come and see you live, but a lot of people don't get the chance to meet you. So what we're offering is, people to come and hang out with me. And in the future, too, we're trying to get other artists to do this as well. So it's more about giving people the opportunity to come and hang out with their favourite artist and, see a show, a little acoustic gig on the beach, and, do a fitness session with them and just kind of, it's something different, a different experience, very unique.
So there is going to be a certain amount of education attached to this. Am I getting this right?
Yeah, well, especially from Benny, from where he comes from, because he was a big fella in his 40s. He was a fat drummer. You know, we've actually had a lot of people calling up saying, look, I'm not very fit. I don't know if I can actually come and do it. And they're actually the perfect people to come and be part of this. I mean, fit people are as well. But, this is about changing their mindset and helping them out, change their way of life and making a change for that, as Benny's done over the years now.
Has it got a bar?
Yeah, mate, absolutely. I mean, do you think I'd do this without a bar?
No, that's right.
Okay, just checking.
It was just sounding a little bit like a rehab for a moment there. There's no bar. That's a giveaway.
I've actually been joking, on a few people I've been talking to, just saying, look, it's definitely, we want people to have a good time. So, yes, we're not going to get you fit in a week, but what you're going to do is have a great experience understanding how you can change your way of life. But at the same time, we want to have a good time. We're going to feed you well. Yes, I'm going to be having a few drinks at the bar for sure. So it's going to be an experience that hopefully that'll be, that they wouldn't have ever had before. So
Music and awesome. Movement escapes.com. And if you haven't yet, go check out Camacho, the new album. Oh, it's a solid listen. We're loving it here at Triple M. Pete Murray, always a pleasure.
Awesome, guys. Thanks to talk to you. See ya.